Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for your presence with us, to be with us on this beautiful Sunday. We have gone through a lot of things in the last week, but I'm sure that you have a lot of blessing. And bless our pastor. He will be preparing his message to all of us. May you open our heart to really receive your words and with your message, so that we not only just listening to you, but we follow you, we follow your step in the week after, in the many, many days after. Thank you, Jesus, listening to our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you. Johnny, would you mind just helping me put that in, plug that in? I just want to thank you, Johnny. I just want to say a couple of thank yous, first of all, before I bring the message. Happy New Year! I'm so sorry I wasn't here, but Wilson and Vivian were very kind to help us put a team together to make sure that we celebrated the Chinese New Year in style. And I believe our church celebrated with great style and wonderful food. And we thank God for that. So thank you so much, Wilson and Vivian. We really appreciate that. Also, if you look at the church, you'll notice that there's a lot of practical things that have been done. And I am just so grateful to Adrian and to Nathan and to Graham. And please, if I don't mention you, forgive me. But I'm so grateful to those who have taken time to make this place fit for purpose so that we can worship the Lord. So can we thank Nathan and Adrian and Graham and all those who've been doing practical work, because this is very, very spiritual, very spiritual. It's a word in action, and it's very important that we're grateful. And then two more things, practical. If when you come the car park is full, don't worry. This is a blessing from heaven. And what you need to do is, if it's full, don't worry. There's another car park just 100 yards down the road on the left. And you can park there and just walk down. Okay? Then there are also some parking spaces along this road. But be careful because, you know, there are cars driving down the road. So there's plenty of car parking spaces around. So don't be anxious about car parking. You'll be fine. And then the final thing I wanted to say before I bring the word this morning is this. Please forgive me. I'm a Scottish Nigerian, so I'm very blunt. So please, when I'm blunt, please be generous towards me. And just say, he's a Scottish Nigerian, what else do you expect? Okay? So be kind. But I want to say very bluntly, this is your church. This is your church. We are family. We are family. And there's some important things about being family is everybody helps. Everybody. Everybody helps. And we do it for Jesus. Not for the pastor, so not for Joanna, not for Yinka, we do it for Jesus. And the other thing is, we do it for the next generation. When I was standing there today, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, in 25 years, there will be a Hong Konger in the cabinet. So I began to pray, please let it be one of our children. I began to pray when I was standing there. I said, please God, let it be one of our children. Let it be one of our children that we can say, I know him. Or her, they grew up in our church. And I used to help them with Sunday school and tell them when they were naughty. Father, we pray for the next generation that we would create an environment where they can thrive, they can grow, and they can believe you for anything. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices that have already been made by the parents. Now, Father, we pray, Lord, that within the church, we would also make sacrifices for that generation in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Thank you for that indulgence. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 15. And I am going to read from verse 11. I think I might use this mic. Sorry. Shall I just use this mic? Is that okay? Thank you.
Wonderful. So Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all his
Hello? Yeah, we're okay.
Thank God for technicians.
Set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth.
You will not squander your wealth in Jesus' name. You will not squander what God has given to you on reckless living in Jesus' name. Not long after that, the younger son, verse 13, got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Our second reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. "But a tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." You know, when we talk about repentance, we need to understand what it means to be a repentant Christian. When people move into the realm of sin, it's so easy to blame other people, circumstances. Some people even want to blame the devil. They say, "The devil made me do it." The truth is
that it's our responsibility before God to say no to sin, to resist temptation. And when we find ourselves in the grip of sin, when we have sinned, to be quick to repent, to be quick to ask God for forgiveness, and to deal with the sin that has taken a hold of our hearts. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The promise of the scripture is, if you submit to God, if you will humble yourself before God and his word, when Satan comes to tempt you, you will be able to resist him. And Satan will flee from you. It's not you who should be afraid of Satan. It's Satan that will become afraid of you. Because when he sees a godly person, when he sees a godly man or woman, Satan is terrified, because the authority that lies in the heart of a believing Christian is greater than anything you'll face in this world. The Bible says that he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Therefore, we know that when Christ dwells within us and we live according to his word, when we resist the devil, he flees from us. So, but I don't know about you, I find there are times in my life when I behave not so well as a Christian. I find there are times in my life when I need to repent. And I have to confess my sin and ask for forgiveness. Very often, it's my wife I have to ask to forgive me. Because I'm not always a perfect husband. Does any wives know what I'm talking about? When we were very young in marriage, my wife and I, very young, we used to travel all the time. And we used to go and minister in different places. We were young, married couple. And we didn't even have 3 weeks in our house in a year. We traveled all the time. Ministering, evangelizing, preaching the gospel in different churches, different denominations. But there were times when we were newlyweds where we needed to have a little discussion about things. We call them disagreements. Other people would have called them arguments. And one of the frequent problems was when I was driving down the motorway. In those days, there was no satellite navigation. And you had to rely on your wife to give directions. And so you're driving down the motorway and everybody's happy. And then you say, what's the next turning? Oh, we've missed it. And at that point, everything within me that isn't godly would rise up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And then a silence would descend in the car. But it wasn't reverence. It wasn't prayer. It was a mood. After a little while, I would feel guilty about being in a mood. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? And then I would say to my wife, darling, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be moody. And she would say to me, I don't know if you're really sorry. Maybe you're just saying it because we're about to arrive at the church. And you want to be able to preach. So now you're saying sorry. Do you really mean it? Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? And then I would be saying, please, I'm really sorry.
forgive me. You're supposed to forgive me. I don't know about you, but I find that there are times in my life when I don't behave as I should as a man of God. And it's so important in those moments to be willing to submit to God's word. Because when we submit to God's word and we acknowledge that we have sinned, then we can repent. Then we can say to God, Father, forgive me. If we don't repent, it leads to difficult situations. For example, in a marriage. If there's a problem in a marriage and you don't face it, it will grow and grow and grow and grow. It doesn't go away. You must face problems in your marriage. If there are problems in the home, you must face problems. Don't try and sweep it under the carpet. We have a saying over here in England that some people sweep their problems under the carpet. You know, when you sweep a floor, you really hoover the floor. But it comes from a time when they didn't have hoovers, okay? But, you know, you sweep the floor and some people would sweep all the dirt because they're lazy, they don't want to put it in the bin. And so they say, yes, they've swept all the rubbish under the carpet, it's now touching the ceiling. There's nothing wrong with being honest about problems in your life. There's nothing embarrassing. I don't have to put on a mask and pretend I'm something I'm not. If you put on a mask and pretend that you're something you're not, it's very hard. You have to keep on adjusting the mask. A bit like the mask you're wearing. Is it over my nose or is it over my mouth? So you don't want to live a lie. You want to live in the truth. You want to live in the light. You want to live free. I know that when I repent of my sin and my wife forgives me, there's harmony in the car again and we can carry on joyfully enjoying the scenery. The silence in the car will be just moments of admiring what's happening around, as when we repent, I repent of my sin, we can have fellowship once more. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when we repent of our sins, we can have fellowship with one another. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. You can't have fellowship if you're living a lie. It's hard to, you walk into church and you won't be free if you're living a lie. That's why God gives us the grace of repentance, so that we can live free from the burden and the weight of sin. The prodigal son, the tax collector, first of all, that I spoke of in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, the tax collector, well, he knew he was a sinner. He didn't deny it. He accepted that he had sinned and he needed to be forgiven. Luke 18 and verse 13, the tax collector stood at a distance. He knew he was far from God. He felt bad about coming close. And that's what the Bible tells us. Sin separates us. When there's sin in our life, it creates a distance between us and God, but also between one another. We know he felt ashamed. Luke 18 and verse 13. He would not even look up to heaven, the Bible says. So he knew he was at a distance from God, and he didn't treat God with contempt. He honored God. He recognized that something wasn't right in his life. He knew that he needed mercy and he needed to be forgiven. So he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He knew where to get mercy from. He knew where to go to receive mercy. He went to God, his Father. You know, there have been times in my life when I've asked people to forgive me because I've done something wrong. And I've gone to them and said, please forgive me. And they've refused to forgive. Bitterness has got into their heart. Anger has got into their heart. And they refuse to forgive. I can do no more than ask for forgiveness when I do wrong. It's up to the individual to choose to release forgiveness. But I know that when I do wrong, if I repent and I ask for forgiveness, I can go to God, my Father, and He will forgive me. You know, in this country, it's really important that we hold government to account. It's important that when government does wrong, the people challenge the government and say, what you're doing is wrong. We know that in China right now, many people are being oppressed. And the voice of the people is being silenced. It's important to speak up. It's important to speak up and to say what's happening. Why? Because no people should ever have leadership that is tyrannical and oppressive. Jesus came to set people free from the oppression of Satan. Why? Because He wants you and I to make our own decisions about how we live our lives, so that we can be held accountable for how we've chosen to live our lives. And whether it's the Prime Minister of Great Britain, or whether it's the First Minister in Scotland, or whether it's leadership in China or Hong Kong, all leaders must be held to account and challenged about how they behave. There must be humility in leadership. And when people are not free to speak, they're not free. When people are not free to say what they believe or think, then they're not free. I pray, as God has brought you into a place where you can say what you think and you can say what you believe, you will not hold back, because there are many people who've lost their voice and are in danger if they do open their mouth and they do speak. And so this tax collector, he knew where to go to get help. He went to God. And he knew that when he went to God, that God would forgive him. Verse 14, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, the one who stood before God and said, I am a good man and there's nothing wrong with me, went home justified before God. When you live in repentance and you deal with sin in your life, you go back home to your own house and you take with you the blessedness of living in forgiveness. Your house will be blessed in Jesus' name. When you walk in integrity in your home, in your house, then what happens is the blessing of heaven, the grace of forgiveness comes into your home. And your house is a place where there's mercy and grace and forgiveness. And that's why it's important for fathers to model forgiveness. That's why it's important for mothers to model forgiveness and repentance. It's important for fathers to repent when they get things wrong. Why? Because we teach our children this is the right thing to do. When you make a mistake, you own up. You accept you've done wrong. It teaches the children that nobody but God is perfect. If they look at us and they think we're perfect, the day they realize we're not perfect, they'll feel deceived. But when we're honest about our failings, and when we're honest about our shortcomings, when we're honest, they can take courage from our strength of character, by which we're saying, nevertheless, I choose to do the right thing before God. Even though I have failed, I will still choose to try and do the right thing before God. This is a home in which integrity reigns. And so the prodigal son, what a wonderful child. You know, when somebody repents, we sometimes think it's because they feel sorry. Well, it's good if somebody feels sorry. That's it. It's good.
But repentance is not just feeling sorry. Repentance is turning away from what you did that was wrong and not doing it again. That's biblical repentance. Repentance means saying, I will not do that anymore. I will walk away from that kind of living because it's wrong. And that's what happened with the prodigal son. The lost son, he came to his senses. Why am I behaving like this? Why am I living like this? And so he repented. He turned away from the lifestyle he had and he chose to now live for God. I want to tell you, God has brought you to this country not just to settle and have nice jobs, and he will provide you with jobs. Why? Because we are a church that prays for people to get jobs and they get jobs. Why? Because God answers our prayers. Let me repeat that. God answers our prayers. And we pray until everybody gets a job. Anybody that wants a job, we're going to pray and we're going to bombard heaven with pleas of mercy until God answers our prayer and everybody's got a job. You've not come here just to work. You've come here to change this nation. And so it's important to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you choose to live with sin, then the Holy Spirit's always trying to get you to deal with that sin. If you live a lifestyle of repentance, you keep on repenting when you get things wrong, then the Holy Spirit's able to move you into destiny and purpose, which is what he always has wanted to do. You've come here for a reason. We have come together as family for a reason. This community that's been built up is here for a reason. We're here to show that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're here to reveal the good news to everybody around us. We're here for a reason. Not to consume, but to sow, and to sow Christ. And so, it's the biblical meaning is different from how people talk about it in the world. It's not just a feeling. It's a change of behavior. A decision that you make with your mind. I will not be that person anymore. You know, there in some homes, it happens that there are things that need to be changed. And in my culture, where I come from, my Nigerian culture, it's very embarrassing if a father is told off. You know, this is difficult. This is difficult. When you see an elder in the community and they do something wrong, it's very hard. It's very hard. Because the culture has a way in which it demands you address them. So you have to address them with honor. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? It must be good to address your elders with honor. That's a good thing. You must address them with honor. You must address them with respect. Well, that's also a good thing. That's a good thing. But you know, in our culture, if you don't challenge an elder when they do wrong, then you will be challenged. How you challenge is important. Do it with respect and honor. But you must challenge. Why? Because an elder doesn't lose respect just because they get things wrong. They're honored because they're an elder. Everybody's deserving of honor. Everybody, from the youngest child to the oldest person, deserves honor. Honor is a good thing in a community. We should honor one another. But we must also challenge behavior. We must also challenge what's wrong. And I know it can be very, very difficult. But we want to be a godly church. We want to be a place where holiness is important to everybody. Where we want to be like Jesus. And that means being holy and dealing with sin. And so we see he understood, he came to his senses, I don't want to be like this anymore. He had a mental decision, I'm going to go back to my father. He too knew where to go back to. He also acknowledged, I need to go back to my father. Why? Because my father, even the servants in my father's house are treated better than this master I have when I'm looking after pigs. When we come to our father, what do we find? We find that he's willing to forgive us our sins, to embrace us, to love us, to restore us. God is just waiting. The image of the Bible, I love this image.
of the Bible of the Father is sitting, I have this image in my head, he's sitting on a rocking chair, okay, just waiting for you to arrive. And the minute you arrive, there is a party going on, a bit like on Thursday, okay, there's a party, everybody's celebrating. That's the image that Jesus wants us to have of God when we repent. That when you ask forgiveness, he's not going, no, he's doing this. Your Father in heaven is running towards you. Some of us don't like hugs, I know. But if you come to your Heavenly Father, he's going to hug you. There is no escaping God's hugs. Hey, some of you don't like to be kissed. But there is no escaping your Father's kisses. The minute he gets you in his arms like this, he's going to kiss you till you feel better. That's the image Jesus wants us to have of our Father when we repent. When we repent, he's willing to forgive us our sins. You know, repentance comes before salvation. You have to repent if you want to be saved. If you're going to be born again, you must repent of your sins. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I noticed that the head of the Baptist Church in Hong Kong has left because he's outspoken and he's in danger, so he's had to leave. And you know, it's really interesting. Why? Because we must be free to preach the gospel. We must be free to proclaim Jesus Christ. And for some, that means they have to stay in Hong Kong, and they will suffer because of it, because they're doing it for Jesus. Some of us, it's the right thing to do is to leave, because we're doing it for Jesus. And there are different types of suffering that you will go through because of it. But wherever we're from, whatever background we have, whatever background we've come from, we need to understand that if we are going to be saved, that we must repent of our sin. And so, in conclusion, we see that God is a God who relents. Yes, he will judge sin. Yes, he will deal with sin. But God doesn't want to have to do that. God wants to forgive. God doesn't want to hold you in your sin and keep you at a distance. God wants you to come near and to be whole and healed. When the prodigal son came back home to his father, he was healed in his heart. His father restored him right back to the position he had before. It doesn't matter how far we go from God. If we turn to him in repentance, he restores us back to what we had before. The proud, they remain at a distance. Those in denial, they remain at a distance. But those who will humble themselves, they will come near to God. They'll experience renewal, restoration, and healing of heart. I have to say, there are many temptations for all of us. Temptations that try to draw you away from Jesus. Lifestyle temptations. Challenging issues in your life that become problematic and draw your attention away from God. Personal challenges, personal difficulties, health issues. There'll be many things that will try and draw you away. You must be careful. You must be careful to steward the salvation which God has given to you, so that you don't miss it. So that you don't miss your destiny, your purpose, or the reason why God has brought you here. And one of the biggest things I've noticed as a pastor in people's lives that lead to all kinds of problems is this issue of repentance. So we're going to look at it over the next 2 weeks, and we're going to dig in a bit further next Sunday as well. What does it mean to live a repentant lifestyle? What does it mean to live in repentance? But more important than having the theology is to have the practice. More important than having the knowledge is to apply it to your life. You know, I come back to the issue of marriage, and then I want to pray. When I was when I got married as a young man, a very long time ago, I know I don't look very old, but I assure you I'm very, 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 very old. But I know I don't look it. It's the grace of God upon my life. Thank you, Jesus. But when I was a young man, I said to my wife, I said, darling, if ever I behave in a way that you see is not godly, you do not need my permission to go and drag all the elders and anybody else you need to drag in to challenge me. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. If I behave in a way and you see it and you love me, then you must make sure that I'm held to account. Of course, it means I have to be careful how I treat my wife. Because if she feels I'm not treating her properly, I know there'll be somebody at my door. This is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's what I want. I want to treat my wife with dignity and honor and respect. And so it's important that I empower her to be able to challenge me as her husband. So too, the Holy Spirit in you, when you live in this world, in this context in which you're in, the Holy Spirit wants to challenge you about things in your life that He would like you to change. For me, I have the Holy Spirit and I have Fiona. But sometimes Fiona's not there. It's just the Holy Spirit. And so it's important then for me to have the practice of repentance. That if I know I'm doing wrong, that I step away from it and I turn back to God. I'd like us to pray. I'm going to ask Sue. Sue's one of our on the leadership team of our church and the apostolic team of the church. I'm going to ask her to just come and just pray for us for a minute. But before she does, I want to say one other thing. I,